Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Promise, and we're so glad you could join us. Before we begin, let's open up in prayer. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you give us everything that we need before we even have need of it, Lord. And Lord, I thank you and I welcome you inside of our lives, Lord, and give you the opportunity to lead us and guide us, Lord. And Lord, I also give you the opportunity to open our eyes, Lord, and allow us to see what you see, Lord, so that we may be sitting in heavenly places as you do, Lord, and that we may be able to be obedient to you 100% of the time, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. We are excited to have you with us as we continue our study of the book or epistle of James. We are in chapter 1 and continuing our discussion covering verses 12 through 18. So whether you're joining us for the first time or you're rejoining us, I just want to encourage you to go ahead, pause the episode, and read through that section of scripture to make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. And now, as is our custom, we are going to open the floor up and give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, Promise.
Well, continuing our conversation inside the previous episode, the Lord was talking to me about how inside of verses 12 through 14 through 15, how while desire is not bad, it is when it's unsubmitted to God that it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. And the Lord was reminding me of how we left off talking about how what our focus on is a major factor in how we're going to run our race. If our focus is not on God, we're not going to run towards Him with all our might or effort. We're going to be running towards something else. And so the Lord was reminding me of how that with His plan, we're automatically going to be satisfied with whatever God gives us. And understanding, going back to in the previous episode, Mommy, you talked about how Adam and woman, how they were sniffing how Mommy, you said they were sniffing the tree and licking it and tasting it to see what it tasted like. And how oftentimes as humans, we think that our plan is either just as good as or better than what God's going to give us, even though it's wrong. God's plan is automatically going to satisfy us. And the Lord reminded me of, for example, I do like this, but Indiana Jones. How for some, and Mommy, as you said, it may look like it's perfectly imperfect, but as soon as we go in there, a trap is sprung. Mm-hmm. And the thing we thought was rejectable or we thought was imperfect, we ended up leaving. And as a result, we had to take a second foot trail back to it instead of actually being transported and carried to it. As in, given the opportunity and the, how do I phrase it? Given everything we need to in order to reach it. And how temptation is more than actually going to the sin and actually seeking it out. Temptation is more than going to the sin and seeking it out. It's also when we allow our mind to dwell on it, to meditate on it. I believe Numbers talks about how that we should be meditating day and night on His word. And when we do that, He will become everything to us. As in, for example, inside of my own life, when you like, for example, an ice cream cone, when I focused on it, it became bigger in my mind. But then when it came back later, I saw that really, in reality, it was small. when I envisioned it as this grand thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how it then also, for the things they thought was small, it was actually big. And as in, it was actually better than what I had received.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it was better than what I took for myself.
Right.
And
why was the question, sir, that your mother asked?
Oh, no. That's okay. You don't have to answer that.
Oh, mommy, I can answer it.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead.
It was because I was too busy trying to formulate, because I wouldn't listen. That was the first thing. I wouldn't listen to the Holy Spirit and my parents telling me what was better. And so, as a result, I ended up taking the phony, the counterfeit.
You didn't believe God had your best interest at heart or in mind. You didn't believe that you could trust God and you needed to defend yourself against his stinginess towards you, when actually, in reality, he's the only one who's ever been generous, and so generous in such a way that there was no fault, no plot, no ability for you to fall or anything that he gave you to be taken away. But you said, I can't trust you, God. I got to do it on my own. Now, that is human, but it's not acceptable. And it's not just from you. I've done that. I mean, goodness gracious, I could tell you, I could count the times that I've done that in my life. But that's the same thing that happened in the garden. And I love how you, actually, did you have anything else you wanted to say before I?
Yes, mommy.
Get my motors revving. Okay, go ahead, baby.
And also, we left off in the previous episode. I spoke about how that we're speaking beings. And also, mommy, you said that. And how it also applies to our imagination. If we're too busy trying to formulate our own perspective, do we have enough energy or the faith to actually go forward and do what God has given us to fulfill his plan? And as a result, be able to receive the well done from him, which we see inside of verse 12. And mommy, I'm done.
Okay. Amen. So let's look at this. Because this is really a big deal for us being able to move forward. Mm-hmm. In James chapter 1, we see the Lord saying, count it all joy when you call in the cause, you fall into various trials and testings. And then on chapter 13, it says, talks about being tempted, which are two sides of the same coin, but they're separate things. Woman and man, because they were not... promise you mentioned about meditating on the word of God. They weren't favorably meditating on the word of God. And that's the caveat. You have to favorably meditate on the word, because you can think about the word all day long and go, the Lord ain't trying to give me nothing. He's always putting all these rules on me. He don't want me to have no fun. He don't want me to, right? You could look at the word of God and come up with that kind of wicked and evil conclusion. Or you can go, my God is always blessing me. He's got his eye upon me. He's always trying to give rain to my land in its season. He wants to make sure that I'm going to be successful. He's giving me his favor. He's making sure that I'm overcoming and I'm not failing. Right? It's two, you're the word of God is the constant, but the way you're meditating on the word makes all the difference. And that's what you see happens in Genesis, but also what's being depicted here. Are you going to meditate on the word of God favorably? I know this looks like a time of testing, but I'm going to overcome, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. God is not withholding anything good from me. He's actually leading me into good pastures. He's leading me beside the still waters. He's restoring my soul. He's leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? You could take that two completely different ways, but let's go back to the garden and look at what happened to them. God made and prepared this beautiful world for them. He put every manner of blessing, every manner of provision, every manner of sustainment, and then he supplied it with himself. And he sealed it, and he said, this is all before you. But, he said, you're going to have to obey what I'm telling you, and you're going to have to make a decision. That is, from that standpoint, a trial. You're going to have to hold fast to what I told you to do, and you're going to have to meditate on my word favorably to persevere, but I've given you literally everything that pertained to their life and to godliness. They even had some extras of stuff they didn't even know they needed or wanted. They didn't care about the gold and Havilah, and they didn't care about the beryl and the onyx. What does it matter? They had the epitome of all things, which was the absolute unhindered, unfettered, distant. It wasn't a distant presence of God. They had the close, up close and personal presence of God. They could look on the Lord and not die. But then turn that coin over. God had to allow them to make a decision. That was a trial from God's perspective. But the adversary brought in temptation, which is why James is articulating it to us. The same way here, that's also disclosed in Job chapter 1. When you're tempted with evil things, it's not God tempting you, because there's no evil in him, right? He made that garden. It was all good. Nothing but good, says the Lord. But then enters the adversary with the temptation. God has to allow the trial to give us a chance to prove out that we are going to walk with him.
Whatever our choice is. But he does not tempt anyone.
He has to let us be tried, because that is the way we determine which group we're going to be in, right? Whether I'm for God, if there's no options, there's no choice, right? So God brings a trial. He said, hey, I lathered you up. I greased your shoulders. I've trained you. You're ready for fighting. I put your gloves on. You're ready to go. Beat the devil. And the devil comes in and says, you've got everything. I've got nothing. I need to steal it from you. And I need to trick you into giving up what God already has already done. Right? So yes. The evil came in with the adversary, tempting them to do something wrong. But God said, I've given you everything. He made the entirety of that beautiful garden. He didn't even let it rain because it was going to be inconvenient for mankind. Think about that. How pampered they were, if you will, how beloved, and not spoiled rotten, but how well treated they were.
Amen.
I'm not even gonna let it rain on your head, because it's not suitable for you being loved the way I want you to be loved. Think about that. I mean, goodness gracious, you don't have to make your own meal. I got you, but I do need you to be obedient, and you are gonna have to make a choice. In slides the adversary with temptation to steal what they had already. They had everything, including God himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, unhindered and unencumbered in their walk in relationship with him. And they had a perfect relationship with each other. They were naked and unashamed. No complaints, no fault finding, no lack. Perfect, beautiful. But then here's the devil that goes, well, I've already been burnt to a crisp. I'm going to the lake of fire in Sheol. I got nothing. You've got everything. I've got to get you to cast away the perfection that God has already provided for you, everything that he gave you, so I can get my hands on it and I can take you to Sheol too. You're going to hell with me. What'd you think? The evil came from the adversary, which is why James is spelling it out here. God isn't tempting you with evil. Because then that would say that he is himself is evil or has evil in him. And that's not true. That's not the case ever. So what the adversary is actually doing, he's trying to play on your desires to get you to forsake God. And in the meantime, get you to curse God. So then you can extra go ahead and die. Right? Right? Isn't that what we saw with Job? The adversary asked to violate Job and rake him over the coals so that Job could go to hell. Not God. God said, my man's going to make it. Have you seen my Job? Ain't nobody like him. He's going to be faithful. God had to let him make a decision, but it was the adversary who brought in the evil option. Now, for man and woman, they had wisdom. They had everything, because God is wisdom, right? Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, right? They had access to everything. And there was another tree in the center. The tree of life was there. They could have munched on that tree all day long until they were satisfied. They could have had a soul diet of tree of life. And what would their eyes have seen if they had partaken of the tree of life? but the adversary comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So for us, what is it that God has already given you that the adversary is trying to get you to throw down and cast away? For you, Promise, in that example that you were talking about where God was trying to say, Promise, Promise, I want to give you something good. And your dad and I were saying, Promise, God is trying to give you something good. And you said, no, because you won't give me what I want. Thankfully, I'm so grateful that God hasn't given me what I wanted multiple times because I was deceived. I misunderstood. I didn't grasp the whole concept of the truth and reality of what was being offered to me. That's right. We want God not to give you what you want sometimes because what you want is wrong. It's detrimental to you. Of course, God didn't want them to eat from the tree of the knowledge of evil is more so what you could articulate it because they already knew good. And did they get anything good out of eating that tree?
No.
Nope. They got the knowledge of evil and the tree of death. So that would have been a good time for them not to get what they desired, correct? But yes. God is gracious. You sent me a note in one of the prior episodes. Even when we miss it, God is faithful. He does throw us a life raft. However, understanding the wisdom that's presented to us and the value of God's wisdom and his heart and his motivation and meditating favorably on the word of God helps us to see the truth and for us to understand, which is the practicality that we saw, the exposing of what's happening behind the scenes that's available in the book of James to go, hey, yep, count it all joy. Don't be upset that the Lord is blessing you, but he's sending you through this opportunity to prove your loyalty, your faithfulness to him, because it's going to produce something in you that is unshakable, something in you that is life lasting, and it will follow you through all your days. Stay with God, take his wisdom, ask him to open your eyes so you see the truth of what's happening, and then ask him for his counsel so that you continue to persevere and you're able to overcome so that you can win and have life and life more abundantly because God has made this available to you. He's withheld nothing good from you. He gave you his only begotten son. Now apply this correctly and then see when the adversary is poking on your flesh and there's something that's trying to get you to rise up against God and cast him out of your life and be angry with him and hate the way that he's walking you through your journey. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it because the adversary would not be coming to you for no reason. If you had nothing good to begin with, why would he be trying to get it out of your hands? Why would he be trying to get you to forsake it? If the garden wasn't good, what was he doing there? Right? If there was nothing there to be had, why was he trying to get man and woman to take another path? If Jesus wasn't on track to be restored to glory, why would he have tried to interrupt that? Exactly. Exactly. Nobody's fighting over nothing. Exactly. But because God gave you everything already, he's already done it. The works were finished before the foundation of the world. Trust him, believe him. Know that if he says no to you for something, it's for your absolute good. And you don't need to see with your eyes what it was going to be. Because the word says the secret things belong to the Lord. Right?
And yes, mom. Yes.
At the very least, only with your eyes you shall see the reward of the wicked, but that doesn't have anything to do with you seeing traps that are laid for you. Take God's word for it, right? I bet you would have wished to have that $40 back in your pocket and the toy that he wanted you to have, right?
Yes.
Okay. So believe him. And if it's like that in the little things, it matters on everything. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And he does not change. He wants good for you. He wants good for us. He's already laid it out and provided it. But you got to favorably meditate on the word of God and see from seated with him in heavenly places what the truth is and believe the truth rather than a lie.
Yes, mommy. I appreciated that you said that, mommy. And another thing that the Lord reminded me of that you told me and also on one of our hair days, well, my hair day, you do my hair. You were saying once you... And this goes to what you were talking about as well, Dad, about discernment. Once you figure out where the target is, don't just follow and wilt. Pick up your sword. Pick up your shield. Go to war. That's what you have it for. It's not just to cut vegetables and make a stew out of it. It's to it's to go to town on the adversaries behind. It's to enforce everything that the Lord has already told us to enforce. His victory over the adversary. That's what we're here to do. So that's what we should be doing in our time here.
Amen.
Amen to that. There's a lot in there. So we're going to pause there for today and give everyone time to listen to the word, search the scripture, study it out, allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And we'll pick it up again on the next episode. All right?
Okay.
So can I get a volunteer to close out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, I promise.
Lord, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for being our God, Lord, and being our Father, Lord. Lord, we also submit to your authority, Lord, and allow you to father us, Lord, inside of you, Lord. And Lord, I'll also allow you to be our everything, Lord, and that you're willing to guide us, Lord, and that you're our protection, Lord, and that you protect us from everything, Lord, and that you tell us before we have need of something, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop. Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.